HR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
There's a river I want to swim in. There's a river I want to live in. It's the river of anointing. It's the
TalkNetwork.com. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you from the radio station where we usually are, right here at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. And TanTalkRadio.com and 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM, and 3 AM stations. So welcome, everyone. And it's going to be an amazing day, a powerful day. We're very excited to be right here in the studio, as always. Along today with me are my very, very special friends who actually I have known, seems like almost forever, Betty, almost forever. You and your family started coming to my church in Indiana back in 1989, I think.
Yes, because Megan was nine.
She was nine.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And Megan is here in the studio, too, mother, daughter. This is great. And they're here from Michigan, and they left all that cold weather behind just to come be with us for the weekend. And, wow, it's been powerful. We had an amazing time last night. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And we had a powerful day-to-day at church, did we not, Betty?
Oh, it was moving.
It was moving.
Because I think God's moving us into a new area,
yes,
of ministry.
Yes.
And he's moving us into a new realm of his glory.
Oh, yes. And I mean, all heaven came down, and most people there received ministry. I mean, it was a lot of people, including myself, which was really cool. And just a powerful day in God's word, in the music, and in the ministry to people, and just powerful. And Megan Kramer, your daughter, is right here live with us, and that hasn't happened for a couple years, so we're really glad to have you back here. And you left Daddy Ben at home with the two kids, and they're surviving without you, Megan. Is this correct?
They are surviving.
They are surviving.
I miss them, but they are surviving.
Do they miss you? That's the question.
I believe so.
Do they?
I think
okay.
so. I hope so.
You hope so?
I hope so.
Oh, they're so sweet. Andrew, 9 years old, and little Zoe Grace, who's three going on 49.
Yes. Yes.
She's amazing, too. So we're very excited to be on the air, as always. It's just a joy week after week after week. It never gets old. Next month, about the middle of the month, we will be, well, we're going to celebrate it actually on Easter Sunday, our 12th anniversary. Can you believe it? On the air, living the good life, this show, 12 years. It's crazy, Megan.
It is crazy, but it's awesome.
It is awesome.
It's absolutely awesome.
We're going to talk more about that special day coming up to 12-year celebration. And I want to talk a minute about our celebration last night. It was a celebration of life for one of our Beaconites, that we call them Beaconites. That's who we are, Beacon of Hope Ministries. One of our Beaconites who was 61 years old, went to be with the Lord a few weeks ago. Betty, you just happened to come in February, the day that this dear one, Bobby Shirilla, was really getting worse and worse in ICU. I picked you up at the hospital, and I said, let's drive through something, get something to eat, and we're headed to ICU. And we were there 5 or 6 times while you were here that week, weren't we?
Yes, we were. And one of the things that was always hard for me was to minister to someone who, you know, was getting ready to enter the gates of heaven. And one of the things that when you surrender and you ask God, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, is this, you know, it was coming down to be, you know, with you, Pastor. And the Lord just opened up doors that I went through. And it was
the whole time you were here.
Yes, yes. And it was just one of those times where you know that you are to do what you are to do.
Yes.
And that when God chooses you and tells you to do it, that it comes with a blessing. And it was a blessing to be able to spend those few days with Bobby and with William.
Bobby's dad?
Yes, in ICU, to be able to minister and see that the glory of God even come through death.
Yes.
It was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And to be able to minister to William, we developed a kind
bond.
Of think a sister brother.
Oh, you are
relationship.
Sister brothers. I got to move over because he's always been my brother. So I guess I got to share him with you, Betty.
I could be a stepsister.
Stepsister? No, he wouldn't have that. He wants you as his real sister, I'm sure, because he doesn't have any earthly sisters. He has one brother.
Oh.
So William, if you are listening, which I imagine that you are, our love goes out to you.
Yes.
Our sincere sympathy and the loss of Bobby. As we celebrated his life last night, Megan, and you and your mom made the most beautiful video of Bobby's life with a lot of pictures that we got put together and songs. And you never met him, I don't think. Did you ever meet him?
No, I never got the chance.
Okay, but do you feel like you know him now after?
I do, because, you know, it just, even in his precious little face,
yeah,
you knew of the love
right.
that he had.
Yes.
Just abounding love
right.
for everyone.
Yes.
It was a blessing to be able to get to do
absolutely.
That.
Oh, absolutely. William and Chris and their other adopted son, Albert, and Bobby lived together for 32 years. That's a long time. Bobby was a Down syndrome person, and but highly proficient as far as talking and interacting and loving. I mean, that's the word that came through last night in his memorial. What a loving man this was. I mean, we say little man because he was very short, but he was big on the inside and little that's on right. the outside, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Legacy of love he left.
I love that, Megan, because we all leave a legacy of one type or another. I kind of summed up the memorial service with that concept last night. Do you want to amplify it on that?
Well, it's just that, you know, you spoke about that the legacy that Bobby left behind was of a, that he touched everyone he met. Literally everyone, touched them with love. And he was never biased with anyone.
Oh, no.
And that's the way that the rest of us should live our lives.
Yes.
We should leave a legacy of love.
We
just
have
like Bobby did.
Absolutely. And well, the place was full. We just had so many people
beautiful.
Celebrating his life last night. So to any of you that were with us last night, thank you for coming. And to William and to Chris and to Alvard, you know, our hearts are with you. And we are
Amen.
Sad that Bobby has gone on, but he is out of pain. He's out of any kind of suffering. He's in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. He's praising God. He used to stand beside me on the front row at our church, and he loved, I told this story yesterday, but it's so Bobby, and he loved the fast songs, and when the band would be playing the fast songs, Bobby was just clapping and right in there, but when they go to a slow song, he'd get really bored, and one particular Sunday morning, he just leaned his head over on my shoulder and looked up at me and said, "Hallelujah." Like he was just bored stiff, you know. I'll never forget that moment. And because he just loved to praise God and loved the fast songs, you know.
Well, and you know now he's whole.
Yeah, he's whole.
He's, you know, the last picture in that video was him writing on the back of Jesus.
Yes.
And he says, I'm okay now. Fred Flintstone and Chris Olsen.
Shigubi
is with the Lord, and he's whole. He doesn't have Down syndrome anymore.
Right.
He's made whole.
He's whole.
He's a brand new person.
He's home.
And he's home.
And we'll get to see him again.
Yes, we will.
And Bobby's favorite song was a Hokey Pokey. And we ended the memorial last night. A lot of people had left, but some of us were stuck it out for the Hokey Pokey, didn't we, Meg?
We did. It was a blast.
It was, wasn't it? It was fun. So we used to do that at all of our church parties because Bobby had to always do the Hokey Pokey. So it was fun. And I guess what we're saying, people, is that we celebrate life. You know, we celebrate life. This is Living the Good Life, the name of this show. But we celebrate the lives of people that are in our lives that we know, people that have made an impact. Bobby Sciarilla has certainly made an impact on my life and forevermore. And even though you didn't know him, Megan, I think you feel like you do know him now all of this, right?
I do.
Wow. So we're glad you're all joining us. How can I keep from singing your praise? Chris Tomlin.
Singing your praise.
I'm Loved by a King. Makes me just want to sing. You know, as we were playing that song, it just reminds me of Bobby. I can see him up there in heaven just praising God right now. I doubt if he's going to teach the angels the hokey pokey, but you never know.
He might.
He might.
You just don't
know.
You
never know.
You never know. We are in a new series we started last week. It's entitled Alive Forevermore. As we approach Resurrection Sunday on April 21st, which will also be our 12th year anniversary for this show, we're pretty excited about all that God is doing. And we'll tell you more about that in a little while, but we have a brand new church space that we're going to tell you about because we've outgrown where we're at. So that's a good thing. So let's go to Mark chapter 2, Alive Forevermore. After a few days, Jesus returned, verse 1, to Capernaum, and word got around that he was back home. Now, we all know that people aren't well-received in their own hometown, right?
That's right.
Would we all agree? That's pretty scriptural.
That's right.
A crowd gathered, jamming the entrance so that no one could get in or out. This was somebody's house, and Jesus was in there teaching. He was teaching the word. I mean, the Message Bible. They brought a paraplegic to him. Now, a paraplegic is somebody that is paralyzed from the waist, or I mean, from the head down, right?
Neck down, right?
So, I mean, we're talking about can't do anything for themselves, right? And he was carried by four men. Interesting four men, one on each side of the stretcher, I'm sure, but four is the number of worldwide evangelism in the Bible. So here we have four men carrying, and here this story has gone around the world forever and ever for the last 2,000 years, right? And when they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof, and they lowered the paraplegic on a stretcher. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, I'm going to stop right there, and then we're going to talk about what Jesus said to him. First of all, they were rather bold. Jesus called it bold, right, Megan? Why were they so bold? What was going on here? Why did they remove part of the roof of this person's house?
Because they were getting to his healing.
They were going
to
get there.
Yes, and they were going to do whatever they had to get him to him.
And oh, do I wish people would be that excited about getting to the healing power of Almighty God. This show is all about healing today, people. And you get a pen, get a paper, and write some things down because you're going to be glad that you did. Number one, we need to be aggressive. Aggressive in searching for our healing through the word and through the power of God in our lives. Betty, talk to us about that. So many people are not aggressive about this at all.
No, in fact, it's one of those things where it's almost like they're spiritually dead. And one of the things that, you know, people, Christ is coming back, and we have got to be on alert. We have got to be ready. And one of the ways that we do that is pushing toward the goal, is pushing forward and believing that, you know, God's going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's going to do it with you or without you. So what he wants is for you to be on board with this move, the mighty move of God that's
exactly
going to happen within these next few weeks, days, and months ahead. Is people, it's time to wake up.
Wake up and get on board.
Yes.
You guys just flew down here, and then you'll fly back on Tuesday, and you won't get to Michigan, that wonderful cold place, unless you board your airplane.
Right.
Right? You can stand in the airport all day long and try to absorb what it would be like if you were on an airplane. You can visualize what it might be like if you were in one of those lovely, tight, cramped little chairs that you can't move in. And you can imagine the feel of the plane taking off. You can imagine what it feels like when it touches down and the tires hit the runway. You can imagine all that. But if you don't get on the plane, duplane, if you don't get on duplane, what's not going to happen? You are not going to arrive in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Megan Kramer.
No, we won't get there.
You can imagine all day long.
Right, but you'll still be standing in the same airport here in St. Pete, Clearwater,
uh-huh.
and you're not home yet.
I propose...
That's procrastination if you don't get on the plane.
Yeah, it's also okay. called stranded.
Yes.
Stranded.
You're stranded.
Procrastination. I propose that a lot of people are this way with healing in their emotions and in their physical bodies. And I have learned as a pastor this low these many years. I began at age 22 as a youth pastor in a church in Brownsburg, Indiana. And I will tell you that I believe a lot of people believe that God can heal them. Very few people believe that he will. I'd throw that at you, Betty.
It's amazing what people believe. And we have to have enough faith. We have to be faithed up enough to believe that the scripture, that the promises that God made, said that by the stripes that he bore before he went to the cross was for our healing. Now, if Jesus said it, I believe it.
There you go.
And I am believing, and I believe for those that, and pray for those that they want their healing. You got to believe, people.
Got to believe.
You've got to have the faith to believe. And we've talked, Megan and I talk about this so often in our little tete-a-tetes are, to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. Mm. And if you knew how small a mustard seed is, it's very, very tiny. Just an itty bitty thing. That's all it takes. That's all it takes for you to hold on and say, okay, Lord, I am believing, I am receiving, I am standing in belief that you are going to heal me. Now, it may not happen immediately. It may happen in a week or two. It may happen in months ahead. But again, you have to keep believing.
God said it. I believe it. That settles it.
Yep.
So I find this fascinating that this story in Mark chapter 2 and all of these have stood the test of time. They're written in the inspired word of God for two increase our faith, right? Now, these four friends, I do have friends like that. Both of you, there you go. I see those hands. Yes, thank you, Jesus. All right. I mean, I do have friends that would do the same for me. I know that, okay? And people, to be a friend to someone that you would stand in the gap spiritually, praying for them, believing for them. Somebody today stood in the place of someone else who was not there for that person's healing, right? You can do that, okay? Standing in the gap, you know? And these four friends were so determined that their buddy, their friend, was not going to remain paralyzed that they not only climbed the roof, but they tore off a bunch of the tile off of the roof. And there had to be quite a bit that they took off to lower down a stretcher with a man on it. And they figured it out perfectly, I'm sure, where it was supposed to go. And it came down, I would imagine, right in front of Jesus. And so in Mark chapter 2, if you're just joining us, when Jesus sees that, he's impressed by their bold belief. Jesus said to the paraplegic, son, I forgive your sins. Whoa. He did not start with, son, I heal your body. He said, son, I forgive your sins. Some religious scholars sitting there started whispering among themselves, he can't talk that way. That's blasphemy. Does it sound like that?
Yes, it does.
God and only God can forgive sins. He shouldn't be talking about forgiving sins. I don't know what that voice is. It could be comparable to a movie, Madea, that we saw recently. Anyway, and the whole point there was Jesus was trying to make a point before he spoke healing that he was God, Megan.
Yes, yes,
he was trying to assert who he was. Your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
And the religious leaders got mad about that.
Yeah, because to them, how could a human being speak those words? But that was God in the flesh. And God saying, I forgive you of your sins, and I am going to heal you. I want to heal you.
Right. Right. And perhaps one of his sins was unbelief. You never know what it was. And Jesus extends that forgiveness. And then in verse 12 of Mark chapter 2, if you're just joining us, Jesus knew right away what they were thinking. He knows what we think. We think we are so cool that we can hide our nastiness and our bad attitudes from God. Let me tell you, right here, Jesus knew what they were thinking. We see that over and over in the Gospels. Jesus knew what they were thinking. Okay? Why is that important, Betty?
First of all, he walked in the flesh here on earth. And he went through everything that we go through on a daily basis. Now, if you think, oh, he has no idea what I'm going through. Oh, yes, he does. Because if he created you, he made you, he knows you, he knows every hair on your head. And if he knows that, he knows what you're thinking. He knows you inside and out. There is nothing that God doesn't know about you.
That's right.
You think you can hide behind, you can hide behind the walls that you build up. You think that the way that you think that God doesn't know. Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. He hears, and especially he looks at our heart.
Yeah, he looks at our heart.
And he knows what's in our heart. So if you have envy, jealousy,
right,
contention, anything that you have in your heart, he right. sees it. And if it has to make him very, very sad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he Jesus cried. Jesus
right.
wept. I mean, it's one of the shortest scriptures in the Bible.
It is the shortest scripture in the Bible.
Jesus wept. So if he wept before when he was here,
right,
he weeps for us in heaven.
Yes.
Because he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's ever interceding for us.
Right.
So he knows.
He knows all about us.
He knows.
And I love that he points out their sin. Why are you so skeptical? You know, which is it simpler to say to the paraplegic, I forget your sins, or say, get up and take your stretcher and start walking? And then he says, well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man. Now he declares it outright that he is God's son. Okay, I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do either one, forgive sins or heal your body, or both. And now he looks now down at the paraplegic and he says, just get up. Get up. Pack you up your stretcher and go home. And the man says, but you don't realize I've been like this all my life. Is that what he said?
No.
Megan's giving me that look. I can see you, because you're in the studio and I'm in
the
control
stink
room.
Eye.
She's giving me stink eye when I said that. Was I wrong there?
Yes, ma'am.
Why?
Because that's not what he did.
Right.
He picked up that mat. And he walked out of there.
He walked out.
In boldness, in faith, in his healing.
Hmm. You know why? Why? Why did he do that? Why did the man do that? Why did he get up and just move out like that? Why did he not say, well, I don't know about this?
It's because the Lord commanded him to, and he was obedient.
Mm-hmm. He was obedient?
He didn't stand there and whine. Are you sure you want to heal me?
He didn't do that?
He didn't question
God. Because he was healed.
Yes.
Because he knew.
He knew.
Because he had met the chain breaker.
Amen.
I've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel lost,
Girls in the studio. I'm sitting in there in the control room at the controls. That's what happens in the control room. You're at the controls.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I had to mute those girls because they were going crazy singing and playing air drums and all those other instruments you were doing in there. It was totally crazy. I wish our audience, I took some pictures and I'll probably put those on Facebook because you guys were wild in there and that was cool. And why did that song elicit that kind of singing and air gestures and everything else, Megan Kramer?
Because if you're bogged down and you've got chains, I'm here to tell you that the Lord Almighty can cut those chains and they will never be bound together again.
He still does that?
Oh, he does, Pastor.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
Because I think a lot of our audience does not believe that God can heal them or will heal them.
Oh, he will.
You sure?
He said it. He does it. And he still does it.
I believe
he's
it.
A miracle worker.
Oh, gosh. Yes, he is. Let's go back to this. Mark chapter 2. I don't know what we're versing in because I'm in the Message Bible. About 10, 11, something like that. So he said to the man, get up, pack up your stretcher and go home. Pick up your stretcher and go home. He didn't say you can leave your stretcher behind there because, you know, he says, come on, get that out of here. Pick it up, pack it up, go home. The man did it. He got up. He grabbed a stretcher and walked out with everyone there watching him. They rubbed their eyes incredulous, meaning unbelieving, and then praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. I have a word for our listening audience. The Lord is saying that it is time for us to enter this new season where we rub our eyes after we've seen some miracle or some healing and we walk away going, I've never seen that before. And we are just like, our faith soars because we see God doing what he promised he would do. Betty, comment. Do you want to see that in this new season?
We saw it.
Today.
We saw it today. We saw it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
At a service.
Hey, oh, yeah, up in Michigan, you guys saw it. Yes. You saw a leg.
A leg grow.
Yeah.
It was an inch shorter on one leg than it was on the other.
Right.
We saw a lady that had had Bell's palsy and was partially paralyzed on one side of her face.
For 20 years.
For 20 years. And the lady smiled for the first time in 20 years. A lady that was had several surgeries, that was on disability, came that day by faith out of her wheelchair. We prayed for her, and we actually saw her arm move at the scapula area back into her back, came back into place. And I'm sure there were other things she said she was healed of. But that's what people do when the one lady maybe was a little lacking in faith because I don't know whether she was afraid to be prayed for or had been prayed for and it had maybe not come to pass at that time.
Right.
But anyone who has just, again, this, the faith the size of a mustard seed, which that lady did, God moved mightily. And it increased my faith to a point of thinking, okay, God gives us that authority as he did for that paraplegic, the same power that Christ had at that time, we have also.
We do have
we just
that.
We just have to grasp onto it, believe it, and receive it, and use your authority that God has given you. Amen?
Amen. And this morning as I began to preach, it went different than what I thought would have thought, right?
That's the Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Okay. We're a little crazy because we saw that crazy Madea movie the other night. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, God gave me this morning, and I just kept repeating it all through the sermon. It's so right on. Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It says that John was preaching this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. I'm in the NIV here. I'm going to say that again. This is a sermon Peter preached. I'm going to start with verse right above that, 37, Acts 10, 37. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is with you. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled up to overflowing with him, God not only is with you, but he's overflowing out of you, Betty.
Yeah, well, you know, I have the Message Bible, and it says that when Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action.
Woo! Oh, ready for action.
Ready for action. I mean, there's the words for right now. Ready for action.
Ready for action.
He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil.
Who beats us down? The devil.
The devil.
Disease comes from the devil. There's no disease in heaven. I grew up in churches where I heard people say, well, God put that cancer on me because I'd been bad and I'd done this and I'd done that. That is just not right. That is not scriptural. Disease comes from the devil. God has no cancer and disease in heaven. He does not punish you with disease. Our own actions, germs, contagions, hereditary factors cause disease, but not because God puts disease on people. Megan.
That's right. God wants us to be healthy and whole because he put our spirits in these bodies to walk around on this earth and be a testimony of that exact power that Jesus had when he was here. It was alive then, and it's alive evermore as it is now.
Amen. And somebody might be saying, well, how come so-and-so wasn't healed? That is not for us to know.
No.
One of my dear friends I mentioned a couple weeks ago, a beautiful lady by the name of Amy, who was one of my son's girlfriends many, many years ago, spoke at Beacon of Hope a few times, went to be with the Lord about 3 weeks ago and suffered from cancer, left a husband and three little kids behind. And it was so, and it still is just hurting my heart that this happened to her. Do I understand why she got melanoma? No, I have no idea. Do I understand why she suffered? No, when she was such a believer in healing, when she laid hands on people, and I've seen her do it. We don't understand those things. There are things in this life we don't have answers to, Betty, and we just have to continue to believe God's word that he is still Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he said then is what he says now, and that's how he feels about the subject of healing. Betty?
Well, I so agree, and there are so many people that are skeptical, you know, when they don't receive their healing. Again, I believe that in heaven that you will get your answer, and I believe that God needs people who will minister to those of us who are still here.
Sure.
I believe that I believe that with all my heart, that there are things in my life that I have not been healed of, but that does not give me any right to say, God, why have you not healed me of this, 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 and this?
Right.
Because I know that if I'm not healed here, so when I get to heaven, I want to be whole. I fight a lot of things in my life, but I know, I believe that God is my Savior, God is my healer, and if and when He wants to heal me, I'm here. My hands are raised, I'm ready to go. But we've just got to believe.
We have to continue to ask for healing.
There's air here. We can't see the air, but we still need it.
We need it
to survive.
Right.
Jesus is here. We can't see him, but we need him to survive.
Oh, good metaphor. Yes, Megan.
I just wanted to comment on losing her. I don't know her, but back to what you spoke last night at Bobby's Celebration of Life Services, look at the legacy that she left behind.
Thousands of people.
That's the way that, you know, that I viewed, I now view death differently.
Yeah.
Because I lost my son 2014. But there, you have to look that there's a deeper purpose.
Yes.
That, you know, the legacy that she's left behind, look at the stamp of what she left on this earth.
Yes.
That the way that the Lord worked through her.
Oh, powerfully.
And that's just that the strength of the Holy Spirit that yes, there is sadness, but look at the unity that has come out of Bobby and Amy both.
Right.
It's very beautiful, Pastor.
The unity of love last night in that lodge where we had the memorial service was so powerful. People reaching out to each other, people not knowing each other, getting acquainted. You know, it was just that legacy of love. That's what we have to believe God. And I'm going to go a step further and say, we've got to stretch our faith, people.
Yes,
we do.
Because it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm telling you right now, folks, that if you do not read your word, if you do not hear anointed sermons, if you do not get encouragement from other believers, if you stay away from meeting with the body of believers and growing not only your friendships and your relationships, but especially growing your faith. If you don't get and stay faithed up, as Cindy Logan said a couple of years ago on the air here, faithed up, not, and because if you don't do that, you're missing out on the greatest blessings you could ever have in your life. And I have heard this said so many times, even recently it was said to me, well, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to get involved with people and I don't want to be hurt again by people. Well, you know, that's life. Hurt people.
That's right.
Right?
It's a risk you take.
Megan, it's a risk you take.
It is.
Getting on the road. Well, I don't want to get on the road and drive my car because I might have an accident. Okay. Well, I still have to get there. Well, it's better than walking. Okay. So since it's better than walking, I'm going to drive my car. Right? Yeah, good metaphor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get to where you're going and drop the excuses. Get to where you're going. Drop your mat. If you have to drag it with you, drag it with you. Don't let it keep you in the same spot.
Oh, my. Do you have anything to say to that, Betty, before we do this next song?
I am believing and that our listeners are going to receive their healing today. I believe that, you know, you say, well, you're sitting there in the radio station. God can work. God can move wherever you are.
But you have to move too.
Yes.
Well, send us an email during the show, and we're going to pray for people towards the end. If any of you that need prayer,
please
just send us your first name, prayers@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty's got her phone right in front of her. And when we get towards the end of this show in another hour or so, we will pray for anybody. If you need prayer today, you can say what's wrong with you, or you don't have to. You can say, pray for me, unspoken, my name is. Or you can say, you don't have to give your last name either. Just send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com. So just as I was looking through my music and trying to decide what the next song should be, this one really popped out to me because it's what we need right now. Revival, fire, fall.
Your name, let your fire fall. Send your wind and your rain on your wings of love. As we lift up your name, let your kingdom come. Have your this place, let your will be done. Pour out from heaven your passion and presence. Bring down your burden.
Good song for this hour.
it's a good song for this hour because the Lord wants revival through the land.
He does.
He does. He wants a fire in our hearts. Not you know, the dry dead desert. He wants us on fire.
What's wrong with a dry, dead desert? What's wrong with just being a so-so Christian, making sure you're going to heaven, having fire insurance, but not getting kind of crazy like those people on Living the Good Life on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock on Tan Talk Net? Well, that's us. Okay. That's us. Not crazy like those people, Betty.
Yeah, we crazy.
You is one
I
of
is
them.
One. I is one. I am so on fire for God that it makes me want to start revival, because revival starts with us.
It starts with us. So starts with each of us.
If we have that dry, parched, it's like being in a desert and not having any water.
Uh-huh.
You become lethargic. You become you thirsty, and nothing will satisfy that thirst.
Nothing grows.
Nothing. It's
gotta have
nothing
water.
Grows
it's
in a desert.
Dead. It's basically
a cactus.
It's dead. I don't want to.
You gotta
dead.
Have water.
You gotta have water. Water is substance for life. The living water keeps us going. Lets us have the fire. It gets us going. It keeps us going. It increases our faith. I can go on and on and on because you know how I like to talk, but it becomes so prominent, and so we have a tendency when we pull back and we go back into that desert-like scenario, is that it's like going backwards in your car,
mm-hmm.
going down a busy
mm-hmm.
intersection in reverse.
Right.
It's deadly.
Yeah.
It is deadly.
Jesus stood up in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the day of the last feast, the last day of the greatest feast. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we know in Acts chapter 2 that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came and descended on 120 first. And then us still today, for those of us who say, "God, I fill me overflowing with all that is."
Yes.
I want it all. Talk to us, Megan. Woo.
Yeah, it's coming to that point in your life where you realize that you're not working to your full potential. And you realize that you're missing out on something. And what you're missing out on is that overflowing of water, that overflowing of the Holy Spirit, that joy that you can't control, that craziness mm-hmm. that we have that mm-hmm. you can't control because it's flowing out of you and you can't stop it.
Craziness?
But you want it to be that way.
We slip into accents all the time, just being silly, don't we?
We do.
But it is a fun thing to know that you are filled to overflowing with the presence of Almighty God. Betty?
It becomes apparent that when you're back in the dry places, it gives the enemy, Satan, access, all access to you. Is that, you know, he can fill your head with lies because, you know, he can fill it with fear. He fills you with the things that can make you discouraged, make you believe that, oh, God doesn't exist. You know, look at your life. Look at what you're doing. Has God helped you through it? Look, where is he now? That's why it's so important that today that the children of God, the church, the body of Christ, pull together and say, okay, God, whatever you want, I'm yours. Do whatever you want in my
Woo!
Life, because I don't want to be in the dry places any longer.
Right.
We talked about it today. I don't want those dry bones.
No.
I don't want to come back together.
Yes.
Be with the body of Christ. Get into a church that believes, you know, that the Bible is infallible. It's the Word of God.
Right.
Get into a church that is Spirit-filled.
Right.
That will keep you going, that will
exactly.
give you the power and give you the strength to make it through life's trials and
storms. You need the teaching. You need the fellowship.
Yes.
You need the anointed ministry.
Amen.
And so many people are content to just ignore that anointing. And the anointing is the presence of God that absolutely changes your life. This show right here today, people, it's very, very anointed. It almost always is right here when we're on. But today, I mean, it's like we've got a super batch of anointing just flowing like crazy. We invite you to use the prayer line, prayers at BOHM Global right now during the show. If you have a prayer request, you want us to pray for you later on in the show, you can put your first name there. Prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Wow. We also invite you to listen to our Thursday night show. It's called Go Yard. It's a counseling show. It's a life coaching show. Megan, you listen almost all the time. 6:06 p.m. Thursday nights, Dr. Angel and I, Mama Mac.
Well, I love me some Go Yard. And, you know, it's something that people need to turn, they need to tune in, because you and Dr. Angel, you guys really crack down on some issues that everybody deals with. And for me, like, the shows that I absolutely love are the ones about setting boundaries.
Well, we're in that new series again, doing boundary series. Yes. Again. We did number 4 last week. This week will be the last one, number 5, Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. You can go to podcasts right here, tantalknetwork.com. Hit the podcast button. Go down to the name of that show, or if you want to listen to some recent ones of this show, open up podcasts, go to Go Yard for our counseling show, Living the Good Life for this show, and you can catch them right there on podcast. Also, the two website addresses are, for this show, www.bohmglobal.com, and for Go Yard, it's Go Yard 2014, because that was the year we began, goyard2014.org. It's an ORG, so check out those websites, and there's shows on both of them, hundreds for this afternoon, this Sunday show, and a lot of them for the other one right there on our websites with titles.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good.
Good stuff.
Something else really good is that my fourth book just got published by an amazing, the largest Christian book publisher in the United States, Zulon Press. I'm very excited about that. I don't want to talk much about that, so I'll let Betty mention it, and also let you know right now you can get a pen, and I'll tell you how you can get a copy from us for $11, including postage, which is cheaper than buying it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And you would also pay tax. We've already paid tax on them. So $11, send an email again to prayers at BOHM Global with your address, and we'll give you we'll send you a postpaid book, Strength for the Fight, my latest book, number 4. Betty?
Are you weak and weary?
That's what it says right at the top, right?
Right there, and it's a picture of a path, and I think that the path will help you to, for God to show you where you want to go. Sometimes life gives us a pretty good blow sometimes. It's like in boxing, you know, you'll get a right hook, you'll get a left uppercut, and through this book, it gives you the ability to know what God says about how He cares for us, and how some of the things that you went through as a small child, and what God has brought you, where God has brought you from, and where He's brought you to, and that's what God wants for us. And it says on the back, just, there are difficult times that we are now experiencing. Discouragement and defeat abound, even so with many Christians. But we find ourselves at times battling things that we don't know how to solve. The Lord does.
Yes.
Once we hand that over to the Lord, He'll handle it for us.
Oh, amen.
He'll take our burdens, and He'll take our fight for us.
He will fight for us. And we'll learn how to fight in the Spirit.
Yes.
And I actually began this book in 2009, and I was going through the Great Recession and losing everything as a realtor, and difficult times, including losing my dad. And I just saw so much happen. And I put it aside. I wrote the introduction in chapter 1, and then just put it in the closet. And then picked it up again a couple of years ago, and now it is actually in print. And so, again, if you want a copy, $11, order as many as you want from us, because we have them. Just send an email to prayers at BOHMGlobal.com, or my personal email is pastor at BOHMGlobal.com, and we will get that out to you. Send us an address where we can mail it, and you can send us a check to Beacon Publishing, And let's do some station ID.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
All right, welcome back to the five stations of TantalkNetwork.com. Three AM stations, as you just heard, and two FM, and always heard globally around the world on TantalkNetwork.com. You open up that website and you'll hear this show currently. That's how it works. So, strength for the fight. I'm pretty excited about it, Megan, and I want feedback from people. I want to know if there was a story or a situation or a truth or a concept that helped them, because that's what it's all about. Writers like to hear feedback, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm one of those writers.
And
I love writing.
I know you do, and you are very blessed.
Yeah.
Your writings are a blessing. And I tell you, this book, whether you are a new Christian or a very veteran Christian, this book will minister to you.
Thank you
for saying
it. It did
to me.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much scripture in there. But,
yes.
But I've also tried to make sure every scripture that I put in there totally applied to what was being said. It's not just a bunch of scripture. It's personal life stories. It's semi-autobiographical things that happened to me on the mission field growing up as a missionary's kid and in the ministry, et cetera. Even my good friend Betty didn't know I had had appendectomy. And
no, 30 years I did not know this. 30 years I have not known that you have had an appendix, and you actually keep it in your house.
In a bottle, yeah.
In her office.
A very small bottle mm-hmm. in your house.
I just showed it to you the other day.
Yes, you did, and I almost passed out.
No, you cherished that opportunity, didn't you?
I cherished that opportunity to see it, because I actually got to see it with my own eyes.
But that was one of two times that I recount in the book that I almost died.
Yes.
Yes.
And came very close, very close. And it's interesting, and here I am sitting here just a little older than you, Betty. Not much, but just a tad.
Just a little. Just a couple months.
Yeah.
It's small.
And God has been faithful. And we did that song, Holy Today, by Juanita Bynum in our service. And it gets to that part where he goes, you're faithful. You're
yes,
so faithful.
Yes.
And that just buckled my knees today when we were singing, Lord, you are so faithful, because that is what it's about, and that's what this book is about.
Well, and one of the things I'd like to share out of your book, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We have just maybe...
We have a minute.
I have a minute, okay. I read this on the plane, and I read your book. I read it from front to cover. I will read it again, because some things I miss, some things I don't retain.